Last time we met, we discussed the Harchatros, different rabbinical prohibitions which Chazal added in order to make it easier for people to remember that they're in the times of the month that are nidus. We went through some of the Harchatros that related to meals, related to different beds, related to staring. One's not supposed to stare at any uncovered, any normally covered part of the body. There's a Harchatra which is mentioned nowhere in the Gemara, which has its roots in the Mice of Rashi. The Talmidim of Rashi record that when Rashi's wife was Anita, I don't think we know Rashi's wife's name, but when Rashi's wife was Anita, Rashi refrained from passing the tea to his wife. And from there, the postrim adopt, universally accepted Chumrah, that one should not pass things from one to another during Nidus. There are two reasons the Acharim say for this. Number one is because it might be Tear of Das, by passing something to another person, it sort of shows you're focusing on the person that causes certain a like-minded way of thinking. And number two, it's a concern for touching. The nafnina might be, of course, if you're passing something big. If it's something which is big, like the Sefer, then of course you're going to still be focusing on each other. That's like-minded. But as far as the issue of touching, it's hard to imagine touching if you're passing the Sefer, just holding on to the end. But Lamaisa, we presume that both reasons are true, and one never passes something to his wife when she's in either or the other way around. The postim write, even throwing is not permitted. Even though throwing is not directly touching, you can't throw from one side of the room to the other. That's also included in the issur of Hoshata, passing one thing miyad al yada. There's a discussion in the postim, what about carrying something big, such as a couch? There are postim like Ravadi that's metal as a couch. First of all, it's very big, and number two, it's not really something that you're doing to focus. You just need to both do it together because you need to carry it. But on Isa, we try to be machmer in those situations as well. B'shas ha'dechak, it's important to ask the Rav. But ideally, we try to be machmer in all situations.
What about like playing tennis together or having a baseball catch?
So, right, baseball catch would be really included in the idea of throwing. Tennis is not so pasha, because tennis, you're not really accepting anything. The whole point is to get the ball away from you. So Rav Wilk thought it depends. He thought that, strictly speaking, as far as hoshata, passing something miyad al yada, tennis is not a problem. It's more of an issue as far as... it's more than an issue as far as Kalos Rosh. It might be a little frivolous to play a game of tennis. Then it would depend on why a person's doing it. If a person's doing it for the exercise, then it's okay. If a person's doing it because they're on a date playing tennis, Rav Wolf, that's not so appropriate during times of Nidus. So it depends what the reason is. And the classic situation which comes up most regularly in the issue of passing something from husband to wife, at least in public, is the issue of passing a baby. According to the strict understanding of halacha, passing a baby should be aser. Passing a baby is no different than passing anything else, and that's aser. Nevertheless, the postman discussed from one of the late Rishonim the issue of chai nosei es atzmo, that a person carries himself. Rav Willig understands that idea, it's the Chiddush of Rav Willig, to mean that any baby is always mutter to pass, because we presume that a baby, when a baby is younger, is considered chaynos, it's considered a cholosh in vosakana. And he thinks the idea of chaynos des atzma, that a living being carries itself, is not really what they're supposed to mean, that's just a phrase. The real point is that any baby, when he or she is very little, is cholosh in vosakana. And for a choleh, the harchatos are relaxed. So whether it's the husband being a chola, the wife being a chola, or the baby being a chola, it's mutter to pass a baby from husband to wife or wife to husband when the baby is very little. Once the baby is older, the postmen do say, this is universally accepted, that if the baby goes by himself to the spouse, that's also okay, because that's not really the wife passing to the husband or vice versa. That's the baby going, you're just facilitating that. So in terms of will, it really comes out there's never an issur. Because the baby, when the baby is very little, it's a chai nosei es atzmo, meaning it's a cholosh in vos takana. Once the baby is older, then the baby is going to motivate to do it himself or herself. So therefore, it's never going to be a problem. Yet, that's Rav Willig's chiddush. Others think that, no, it's a problem for a baby to be passed, and therefore, they would not pass a small baby. The halacha, once the baby is older, to go from one spouse to another, that's mutter according to everyone. The baby's doing it himself. But the issue of a baby being very small, that heter is very well, others do not hold that way. And Reb Willock extends it even to baby things, such as a baby bottle. Anything to do with the baby is Terech Yechola. That would be mutter in the baby's first months. What about a stroller? So ideally, if, let's say, you're going down steps, if the husband and wife should do it herself, or the husband should do it himself, the wife shouldn't be doing it, then that's ideal. But even if you don't accept Reb Willock's kula, as far as babies in general, many postmen are made to carry a stroller since it's really yesher. It's not shayach. It's not possible. We mentioned the idea of something big. And here, there's no way to get down the steps. How do you get down the steps if there's only one person? That's mutter, even according to the postman, disagree with Reb Willock. But Reb Willock has this kula for babies in general, which is well known, that even that babies are always mutter in the beginning. One of the basic hachatos, we mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, is lo yekel roshima. A person is not allowed to be frivolous. Husband and wife can't be frivolous with one another. What does that mean, not to be frivolous? The strict understanding of frivolous is frivolity, because frivolity can lead to sexual activity. If they schmooze with each other, not just schmoozing stam, but schmoozing in a sort of intimate sense, that can lead to sexual activity, which is of course aser. So they should not discuss sexual matters during the time that she's in Nida. But even that, it's important to keep in mind, it depends. If they discuss sexual matters in an intimate way, that's a problem. In theory, if let's say the husband and wife are having certain problems, it's an important thing to talk about, we'll talk about it before this class is over, the issue of sexual matters being something which can cause stress in marriage. It's very, very common. One of the major stressors in marriage is the fact that there's something going on in the intimate aspect of their relationship which is not proceeding the way it should be. To discuss that during the times of Nida is not the same thing. You have to use your head. But there you're not discussing the intimacy which could lead to sexual relations. You're talking about a problem that exists. And it's important to use your head. It's not that sex is always mutter or usher to talk about. You have to use your head to know what the general context is. Similarly, there's a discussion in the postim about the words I love you. Unfortunately, the words I love you in today's day and age lost their meaning. A person can leave to work and say to his wife, I love you, see you later, and that's really not intimate. But the same words, three words, I love you, over a candlelight dinner, when everything is dark and she looks into his eyes, glassy eyed, and just says, I love you, that's very intimate. So it's not the words themselves, but the whole context. You have to use your head to know that discussions are not only made up of words, but it's the whole context. And therefore, things that are more leading to error are a problem, things that are not are mutter. Playing a board game is encouraged, of course. It's very important, as we mentioned, to build the non-sexual parts of relationship during nidus. But if it's leading to giggling and frivolity, you have to use your head. That's not appropriate because of what it could lead to otherwise. Of course, dating in general. People often think that dating is something which you do when you're trying to find your spouse before engagement and maybe during engagement. But of course, dating is important all the time, just to enrich your relationship, to know each other more. Matav manayim. And certainly during the times where there's no physical contact, it's important to set aside time for each other, whether you date in or date out, but to go on dates and to talk to each other is very, very important, even though one can't have the physical component of the marriage. And of course, that's not frivolity, that's very, very essential. Another chumrah that we have as far as the harachotos is that she's not allowed to draw the bath for him. He can draw it for her, but she's not allowed to draw the bath for him, which means turn on the water for him. Shower is mutter. Special chumrah, she can't turn on the bath for him. Most people don't take baths nowadays. So showers are mutter, and even if he wants to do it for her, that's also mutter, so she shouldn't do it for him. An issue that often comes up during the harchatos is the problem of embarrassment. Let's say we talked about passing, not to pass something from one to another. People often feel like, I don't want anyone to know my private business. That's normal. It's normal for one of two reasons. First of all, menstruation. Being a nida comes from a private part of the body, so the less you focus on that, the better. A woman feels awkward for people to know her status because menstruation is from the uterus, the vaginal canal, it's very private. More than that, people feel awkward, which is very understandable. No one should know what the situation is in my married life, mutter aser. For Rav Moshe writes, we have to keep in mind, what we mentioned once before, that in the days of the Gemara, men and women who were tamei and tahor wore different clothing, which means everyone knew if a woman was a nida or a man was a bal keri, that was totally open. Everyone knew that. And it's important to have that healthy dose of reality when you deal with nidus. Yes, Of course, if a person really studied your activity, they could know if you need it or not. But it's important not to care so much. You shouldn't care about others, they shouldn't care about you so much. And it's important to realize, worse, let's say they know, so what? It's not proper to violate their hachakos just because of the situation. But of course, you have to think ahead. I think I mentioned the case where, let's say, a husband is in one side of the room, wife's on the other side of the room, he's supposed to be doing a shiur. And he realizes he forgot his notes at the table, let's say, where his wife was sitting. So they're in a big ballroom, he's doing a shiur, and his wife picks up the notes, starts bringing them to him, he meets her in the middle of the ballroom, and all eyes are on them. And she realizes she has two choices. She can either drop the notes on the floor for him to pick up, or hand them to him. The problem is she's in either. So therefore, in that situation, there might be room to be made in that super public situation. But, chachalina barosho, think ahead. Either she should walk to him, or he should walk to the table. They shouldn't come to the situation that they should be meeting. Just think. So if you're prudent, if you make the game out of it, and you're prudent, often it's very easy to avoid most embarrassing situations. But you shouldn't be so embarrassed. It's a normal thing. It's a normal part of life for every married person. Similarly, let's say you're at a wedding. Often that happens at the wedding. They give you the mic, each person to pass the mic to someone else. So if you're standing next to your wife, then you should give the mic. Can't give the mic to your wife, give the mic to a kid. Yes, the kid wants to say mazel tov. The kid can give it to your wife. Havdalah, if your wife's your wife's a nida, and you can't pass the baton to her, so you have two choices. You can either put it down on the table. If you think that's awkward, then position yourself not right next to your wife during Havdalah. And then there's nothing to talk about. So if you think ahead, most are chachos that people don't notice can be avoided. And worst comes to people notice, okay, kacha. We're going to move to the next part of Hilchos Nida, an issue that people think are very complex, but in its bare sense is really very simple. The issue of Vestos. Vestos, it's funny, but Vestos are pronounced two ways. In the Yeshiva Shvelt, they talk about Vesasos. The word Vesas, Vav, Samach, Tav, or Sav, means cycle. In the Yeshiva Shvelt, they talk about Vestos. It's funny, because usually in Yeshiva Shvelt, things are made into a S sound. But they talk about Vestos, and while you often talk about Vesasos, so it's a little turned around. But either way, it's the same word, it means a cycle. Vestos, Vesasos. And there are three cycles that we're concerned about, three primary cycles we're concerned about. Whenever a woman has a period, you mentioned the financial markets before, we presume that before you, we talked about the chills. So the concept of prospectus is legally binding. I think you're never allowed to invest in anything before you have a prospectus, before you see someone who told you how the funds operated in the past X amount of time. But they always point out, past performance is never a true indicator of future results. The same thing is true in Nidus. We try to view a woman's menstruation as a pattern, to see, based upon her past history, when is she most prone to having her period. Nevertheless, it's somewhat of a shot in the dark, an attempt to try to predict when she's going to be a nida, but it's not foolproof. Often it doesn't happen, but it's an attempt. And the Gemara talks about two different types of vesasos. The type which is very rare, which we don't usually have, is vesas kavua. Vesas kavua means for 3 months she sees on the exact same day, so we know that's her day to see. Nevertheless, in most situations, it's very, very unlikely to have vesas kavua. We usually talk about what the Gemara calls vesas she'eno kavua, a period which is not kavua, it's not written in stone, it's somewhat of a shot in the dark based on the last month or two as to when she's going to have her next period.
Same day,
so we'll talk about the three different types of vesasos. But either way, so just it's important to know that there is such a thing as a vesas kavua. We're not going to really focus on that now. We'll get to it a little bit later. But primarily we're talking about vesas she'eno kavua. Not 3 months that are straight, but somewhat of a general guess based upon the past month or two. What happens during the day of the vesas, which again we're going to see in a little while, on the day which we're going to say, the day which we forecast her to see her blood, she has to do a bedikah. And she also cannot be intimate with her husband. She's not allowed to have sexual relations with her husband during the day of the Vesos. We'll get to more details in a few minutes. Now let's examine the three different types of Vesos that exist. There's two major categories. Kavua and Otavua.
Okay, sorry.
And now, within those Vesosos, we're going to talk about Vesa Shein Otavua, three different types of Vesa Shein Otavua. One is, here, for this we're going to focus on, there happens to be an excellent chapter in Rabbi Forst's book. Rabbi Forst is a phenomenal two-line work in English, Halachos of Nida. So in his book, he happens to have, this is the entire chapter, I photocopied it for the calendar. It happens to be, today to read, it's 3 pages long. This is the basics of Vestos. 254, 255, 256. And we'll use the calendars in a few minutes. Good to have them. I'm going to use one on the board now. It's good to have them as we're going through this. And when you have a chance, it's great to have you read this.
Thank you.
It's a review of Nida. So, let's talk about 3 months. The first Vesos we're going to talk about, again, this is usually in a Kavua, it's just somewhat of a guess, is Vesos HaChodesh. Vesos HaChodesh means she had a period in this month on the 15th. Therefore, next month, on the 15th, she's Chosheshes. She expects her period on the next month on the exact same Hebrew date. It's Tes Vav here, it's Tes Vav here. That means on this day, she is, number one, going to be Asur B'Tashmish, and number two, must do B'Dika. Nevertheless, Vestos are unique, in that the only time that we prohibit her is the actual 12-hour period of the previous month. Which means, if she saw it on this month in the AM, this is Vesos HaChodesh going to be in the AM. If in theory this was PM, then this is going to be PM. It's only the 12-hour period. I'm using the 12-hour period loosely. It's not really 12 hours. It's either day or night. It's summer or winter. It's different. The day or night of the previous month. So if it was after sunrise on this month, it's going to be the entire day, from sunrise to sunset of this month. If it was at night, it's going to be night.
So it's not 12 hours.
Right, not exactly 12 hours. It's the ballpark. We usually break the day and night. Now, it's important to realize, you'll see this when you try to plan it. Any calendar that you use, if I try to plot, let's say, usually a calendar that have both English days and Hebrew days, I try to plot the 15th at night. It's a little bit tricky because usually we have a calendar that, let's say, it says December 1, 2, 3 and Nisan, Aleph, Beis, whatever. December's not Nisan. It'll have the same month in Hebrew and English. Usually a box represents the day. If it's after sunset, it's going to be the next Hebrew day, even though it's still December 15th. So whenever she has her period, the best thing to do is to record the time. When she sees it, when she records it on her calendar, she should record the time. This way you know when you go to the next month, you can realize if it was day or night. That's the simple Vesos HaChodesh, number one. And again, on this time, she's Asur B'Tashmish, and she's going to need to do B'Dika. Correct. Unless she has blood. Very often she won't have blood. What if she forgets her B'Dika? B'Dievitz Mutter. In fact, Rav Wilk says he thinks there's no chiyuv to b'dika at all. So in Shulchan Aruch, it seems most poskim say there is a chiyuv. Rav Wilk thinks, based upon other poskim, there's no need to do b'dika at all during this Vesos HaChodesh. But the standard approach is do b'dika, and everyone agrees asur b'tashmish. The next Vesos is Vesos Haflaga. Haflaga is a little bit more complicated. Haflaga means the period between two points. Haflaga means skipping. So, on this month,
We said she already saw the period on the 15th in the morning.
Let's say the previous month, her period was the 18th.
Let's say in the morning again.
Now let's count the amount of days between here and here. Hafaga means interval. So if we have, count from this 18th, we're counting from here to here. How many days there was between her last two periods? One, two, three. And when we count this, by the way, keep in mind, both this day and this day are counting in our cheshbon. So 18th is 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. 28 days is what's called reveses hafraga. Hafraga means interval. So there's an interval of 28 days from two periods ago to last period. So now when she wants to forecast the next month's period, she has another 28 days. How does she do that? Again, this day counts again as the first day of that period. We mentioned that day 15 counted as the last day of counting the previous interval. It's going to count now again. So we count from 15 again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. This is going to be her Veses HaFadra. I made a mistake here. This was not the Veses HaFadra, that was HaFadra. The HaFadra was 28. So therefore, this is going to be Veses HaFadra. It could be 38, it's totally erratic. Based on her normal period, she's actually 28. So therefore, it's going to have the same din as Veses HaChodesh. Bedika, if that's morning, Revuah holds no Bedika, and Osir B'Tashmish. And at the end, if she forgets the Bedika, she's Materis without the Bedika. Sorry?
I don't
have that at all. You
don't have that at all? Why are you using number 28?
No, just what happened to me, I put this day was her period.
It's just the actual day.
Whatever day her period, whatever, right. If her period would have been on 3, let's do it that way.
It's different than HaFodesh because this is...
Yes, this is correct. This is just the interval. Let's do it another way. Let's start it.
The actual interval between her actual periods.
Right.
Okay.
We'll do it again. We'll do the cheshbon again. Just do it with me. Let's say, for some reason, on the previous month, her period was on the 3rd of the month. So now let's count. Count with me, make sure I'm right. We count this day as day 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43.
She waited 43 days to
get the next period. Right, it's not so, doesn't usually happen, but it could happen. So her Hafaga, 43-day interval. Now it's 43 days from this. Again, this was the end of the 40, this was day 43, it's also day 1. Turn to forecast to the next time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. This is her father, the 28th. Let's say it was the AM, going to be the AM.
So
that's the interval.
That's just your interval. Interval,
right. Same thing. So on the whatever interval of days the last period was, carry it over to the next month and say,
it's a projection.
43 days after this period, all she knows now is that this period, this was her last period. And now she's somewhere around here, let's say. She's the 5th of the month. Oh. She's trying to figure out when that period is going to come. So she has to say, listen, on the 15th of this month, I'm expecting my period, and on the 28th of this month, I'm expecting my period. She's concerned the period is going to come.
So you project 43 days later.
Right.
So you could be doing these 2 days in a row.
In theory, we did it in a row, for sure.
And the same
thing. Right, well, right, exactly.
And it's possible not that many, that's
well, well, she knows she had a period, if she had the past two periods.
Or it could come earlier the next month than you've ever had, because it is.
Right, well, no. So let's say
Let's say your period ends up being on the 6th this month. That means your interval is much shorter. You don't have, let's say, a 25-day interval for next month. But let's say a woman is pregnant, and often when women are pregnant, usually they don't have any blood. So then, after 1 month, she has no period. She's not going to have any vessels for the next month because 28 days from what? There's no interval.
But does she still be with? Say she gets pregnant on the second day of the month, and that's her vessels on Kodesh.
Right.
So she would, even though she may not know it or she's just starting to get pregnant.
Well, if Rav Moshe writes, if she takes a pregnancy test and she knows that she's pregnant, then it's okay. She's Mesulef Hasdam, there's no need to do it. Well, let's say in the olden days of the Gemara, when we didn't know it for 3 months, then she still has, of course, to do it. But if she knows she's pregnant, then there's no need to have a vessel.
And she can have the other.
Yeah, there's no vessels rope once there's. And it starts over. If Chas V'Shalom there's a miscarriage, it still starts over again. Once she's pregnant, it starts over again anyway. The third vesas is called onavenus. Onavenus, as we mentioned, there's two types of vestos, vesas kavua and vesas she'ena kavua. Onavenus is our best attempt at a vesas kavua. That means that these things are both very, very erratic. Depends on each woman, depends on her situation. But vesas kavua, I'm sorry, onavenus, ona means time, venus means average. Ona is... Ona means time. Venonis or venonit means average. We presume that the average period is 30 days. So therefore, 30 days from when a woman has a period, 30 days later, she's going to have a vesas automatically. Which means these two were her own personal vesas. Vesa Chodesh was based upon the months, and Vesa Chodesh was based upon the past two intervals. But now again, using this model, that is, on the 15th she had her period, we now have a third vesas called onavenus. Onavenus means 30 days after this date, she's going to again be concerned that her period is going to come. What is 30 days after day 15? Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Onavenus. Happens to be the Onavenus this month is the exact same as the Vesa Chodesh anyway. Which happens half the year. Every Jewish month is either 29 or 30 days. Half the year is going to be the exact same. Half the year is going to be one day off. That's usually almost the same as Vesa Chodesh. But onavenus is more machmir. It's an attempt at a vesas kavua. It's an attempt at a stronger vesas. And therefore, everyone agrees this beditha is mandatory. So mandatory that if she doesn't do it, she is asura to her husband until she does the beditha. A day, 2 days, 3 days later, if she forgets, she's still asura until she does the beditha. And of course, she's asura tashmish as well. So for Vesa Chodesh and Vesa Chaga, according to most people, do Bidika, according to others, no Bidika. If she forgets, though, she's definitely Mutzer. But Onavenus, according to everyone, she must do Bidika and she's Asura until she does the Bidika. It's important to realize, so far, we're clear? Yeah? There has to be a focus. The normative approach is that Onavenus is 30 days. Some people say Onavenus is 31 days. So there are some, this you should ask the Rav that you're going to ask Shilos to if you have to be choshev for 30 and 31. But it's important to realize, even if you're choshev for 30 and 31, how many days are you adding over the course of a year to your vestos? Only 6 days. Why? Because we mentioned that usually onavenus is either the day of the chodesh or 1 day off. Those 1 day off is going to be 31. So it's either 30 or 31. One of those is always going to be the vesta chodesh anyway. You're not adding that much. But it's just important to know that there are some that say 31. The normal approach is day 30. So those are the three vessels we have. Vesa Chodesh, which is based upon the exact date of the month. Haflava, which is the interval, amount of days between the last two periods. And Haflava, and Onavenus, which is 30 or 31 days from the last period. There's a chumra you should know about called the chumra of the arzarua. We mentioned that the basic presumption is that the vessel is only for that 12-hour period, either day or night, that she saw last month. The arzarua, one of the Rishonim, he says that for every vessel, we're concerned not only for the day or night that she saw, but for the period before as well. Such as, if she saw, we mentioned this month it was the 15th in the morning, therefore the next month is the 15th in the morning, he would say it's the 15th at night as well. You make it the entire day of the previous month. So it's the day, in this case, as well as the night. Alternatively, let's say she had seen 15th at night. So he would say, when is the Vesis going to be? Not only 15th at night, but even 14th during the day. Meaning we add the 12-hour period immediately prior to the Vesis as well. Now that's a chumrah. Some hold of it, others don't. And I'm not telling you to hold of it, but it's important just to know it's there, that it exists. It's a chumrah that some hold of, and you should just ask about it, just to be aware, not to think that something which comes out of left field.
Other Vestos, they're only day or night.
So we presume that Vestos, the strict din is that all Vestos are only day or night. But the Arzura says any Vestos is going to be the 12-hour period prior to it, either day or night prior to it as well, for all the Vestos. Some say, I think Rav Neuberger says, even if you want to be machmir for the Arzura, don't be machmir for all Vestos. Maybe for Onabainis, which is the strictest Vestos, there be machmir for the Arzura. Others say for all, others say for none. Just know that it's something which is out there that you should be aware of, the Arzura's Vestos, which is 12 hours before the actual time of the Vestos.
Okay, so practically, I've never heard of this. So practically every, every X amount of, you have to do all this. How does it work?
Right, these,
literally
all,
like,
right, all these
there's
three.
There's going to be like 3 days, maybe they fall out on the same day, maybe they don't fall out on the same day. Woman has to do Dika, and you can't have Dika.
Right. Half the time, they'll be during the day.
Yeah.
So, husband and wife are usually working, not even going to see each other. But there's three potential times, often they overlap. Right, that we forecast that her period is going to come.
But what if, is it usually during the time when she's in Nida?
Often not. Depends. I mean, since periods are so irregular, it could be, usually we're going to have a 20-day period, a 30-day period, so it depends. It's possible that her Nida's already happened before the Vestos happen, and then there's nothing to talk about. But if she has a delayed period, she's going to have these Vestos. Now, there's one concern. One of the complexities of this world is that sometimes things that are mutter, as it says in the beginning of Macbeth, fair is foul, and foul is fair. Often in Olam Hazeh, we have things very confused. One of the best things in the world, and worst things in this world, is birth control. People think that orthodoxy is totally against birth control. Other people think that birth control is best, and the answer is none are true, and both are true. For certain situations, birth control is terrible. For other situations, birth control is fantastic. And it's important to ask your Rav, a person that you trust, before every situation, but just know if you're in a situation using birth control, these Vestos are not going to happen. Because birth control, the simplest form of birth control, the pill, which is what most people use, regulates a woman's period. So that means she knows that as soon as she stops taking the pill, 2 or 3 days later she's going to have a period. That's not based on these Vestos. What's the Vestos of birth control? The Vestos of birth control is a woman knows whenever she stops taking the pill, X amount of days later, she's going to have her period. Let's say she stops taking the pill, and that's the way birth control works usually. A woman takes the pill, and then for 7 days there's a placebo, it's a sugar pill, which she still takes to keep herself in the mode of taking a pill, but there's no medicine. So she knows the last time she takes her regular pill, 2 days later, let's say, she has her period. The next month, the last time she stops taking her pill, that's going to be the time that she has her Vestos. Now, it's important to realize, in theory, usually the pill comes in 28-day packs, which means the woman's going to usually stop on day 21, day 23, day 24, she's going to have her period. But we're not concerned about what day number it is. The only thing we're concerned about is when she stops taking the last real pill. Let's say a woman, on the advice of a doctor, for example, doubles up, takes two pills, two months' worth of pills. So for 45 days, she doesn't have her period. She has no vesas during all those 45 days. Her vesa starts the last day of the real pill, X amount of days later is going to be her vesas. Which means, again, that if she, let's say, last month, took the pill and then 3 days later had her period, next month, whenever she stops taking her pill, 3 days later is going to be her period. It's based upon when you stop taking the pill compared to last month. That's the only vesa she has. None of these vestos. So it's important to realize that that's a very different situation, and that's what we presume based upon the halachos of vesta. Now, just to quickly at Rabbi Forst, at the hand from Rabbi Forst, on page 254, he has a classic presentation of Vesta Chodesh. It was the second day of Nisan, then it goes to the second day of Iyar. That was her Vesas. Vesta Chodesh, like we discussed. Then he has, on page 255, on a Beninus. That same Vesta Chodesh was 2 Nisan to 2 Iyar. On a Beninus was the 30th day. She goes, let's say, from 2 Nisan. If you count 30 days, that's going to be 1 Iyar. Count from 2 Nisan quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 1 year is 30 days. Everyone see? It's on a Beninus. And then on page 256, we have the Hafraga. From day 20. 9. Counting, let's say, if that was a 28-day interval, then it's going to end up on day 26, which is going to be her Vesafab. Through reviewing what we did on the board, there's those three Vestos very simply stated on these three pages. Good to have to review. Keep in mind, people often find this confusing, though, if you think about it, it's really very simple. If her day of interval was 28 days, then if you count,
it says, no, that's
right, 28 day interval, yeah, it's going to be from 29 to 26. How do we define day and night? So here, day and night is defined like it is everywhere else in halacha, based upon sunrise to sunset. After sunrise is considered day, after sunset is considered night. That's for the purpose of Estos. That whole morning.
It is 12 a.m. to 12 p.m.
No, if she has 11:59 a.m., that's afternoon, right? 11:59 a.m. is during the day, right? So it means her next month's vesas going to be the entire day from sunrise to sunset. That date, next month, right? Let's say her period is 8 o'clock. That's already now. That's after Shtia. Then it's going to be the next month, that entire night. And it's important to realize that Vestos only begin when the actual period begins. Often a woman, prior to her period, will have Svadin. Svadin, as we mentioned, those are Ksanin. The first class we discussed, those are halakhically irrelevant, as long as they're on the right material. But even if she's a Nida in that situation, even if, let's say, it's a Gris, it's bigger than a Gris, so it's going to make her into a Nida, she's a servant to her husband, until the flow starts, it's not a Veses. Because Veses means when her real menstruation came. So because of a halakhic reason, even with a small spot, she became a sura. That's not when her vesa starts. Her vesa only starts when her actual flow starts with, she's using a pad, she's going to really have a lot of blood. So it's important to realize, she could be a nida, but not mark that day on her vesa's calendar yet. Important thing to realize. You hear that point? Period. The fact that she's a nida does not mean that her vesa started that day. Because she could have spotting, but that's not her. So halakhically, she's a nida, she's a surah to her husband, but the period only starts, let's say, 2 days later when it's really a lot of blood. That's going to be the first day
or Mevesis.
You're saying basically for projection purposes?
Right, I mean, let's say...
It could be that, right, it could be that her she had spotting on day 13.
Yeah.
And that's going to make her neither any here, but her flow really started with gusto on day 15. This is going to be the day of the Mevesis, to project the next month. Before we go on, any other questions about Festos?
Maybe tricks of checking to make it during the day and not like if the woman does.
So it depends. We presume because of this reason that Ein B'Chasam Mishum Vestos, that it's not just seeing blood, it's the fact that it's going to be a real flow. You can't make a real flow happen. The one trick is, this is not a Vestos issue, this is just a neither issue. Let's say a woman knows she has short periods. Let's say she knows that she's going to have a 4-day period. She knows the periods are only 4 days. We mentioned that you need at least 5 days before she can count Zayinatim. So it might be advantageous for a woman sometimes to start her period early, to say that she's going to presume that she's Tameya early, so she has her 5 days, so she can count Zayinatim earlier. But that's the only trick in this realm. Otherwise, we say you can't make a trick because Vesis really is based on when the flow actually starts.
What's the point
of Vesis? Vesis is to predict when her period is going to come next month, meaning she knows this is her history. Now she's somewhere around here. She doesn't want to be with her husband when she's in Ida. So she has to predict when is their probability her period is going to come. So we try, as the Gemara tells us, to predict with some level of certainty, not very much, but some level of certainty when her period is going to come. That's what it says. It's not that confusing, if you think about it. Right? And the Cheshbon is not so confusing. There are a lot of funny Vestos. The Gemara talks about a lot of interesting Vestos that come up, but they don't usually come up. This is based upon, let's say, on days of the week. These things don't usually happen. If you notice that your wife is going to have 3 months of the exact same day or date, it speaks to Rav about Vestos Kavua. But hardly ever happens. Things are so stressful nowadays. No one's body works the way it should, and everyone always has things that are sporadic.
Why is it three?
It seems to be based upon the normal rules of Chazaka. Chazaka, let's say. Well, those are the most common ones. There are other types of Vestos that Gemara talks about, but those don't usually come up. I don't say there's a Vestos if a woman feels that every time she has a period, in theory, she has a scratch in her nose. She knows it. She never has a scratch in her nose except when she's going to have a period. That's her Vestos. No scratch is going to make her have a period. It doesn't usually happen, though. Most people don't have that. They have scratches in their nose before the period, they also have scratches in their nose without the period, so therefore, that's not certain enough. A lot of people have cramps before the period, but they also have cramps without the period, so that's not good enough for their Vestos, because it happens too frequently. Before we end, it's important to discuss the issue of what's colloquially known as shalom bayis, peace in one's own home. Shalom, of course, we know, is the name of Hashem. Mishnah Berurah writes, quotes from some, that you can't write the letters Shin Lamed Vav Mem, Shalom, and bring it into the bathroom. You shouldn't say the name Shalom in the bathroom. You should write Shin Lamed Vav, because Shalom is the name of Hashem. And that's what the Gemara says, that a husband and wife, by having a harmonious marriage, have the power to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into their midst. The Gemara says, Ish V'Isha, Shalom Einayim, Shechina V'Einayim, the Shechina is between them. Shalom, having Hashem in the house is something which every couple can do. It's an unbelievable thing. They quote that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was sometimes before he used to walk into his house, he used to clear off his suit, make sure it was all clean, because he knew that when he walks into his house, the Shechina is there. Aside from his wife, the Shechina is there, because when you have Shalom with your wife, the Shechina is there. It's an unbelievable thing. That's what a couple can do. And it's important to realize, though, that it's not always a road which is well-traveled. For many people, you need to have Eitzah. It's important to feel confidence talking to a person, an older friend, a Rav, not because your situation is a problem, but to know that often, Shalom Bayis is something which takes a lot of adjustment. Couples come from two different parts of the world. Even if they live in the same area, each person has their own experiences which are vastly different than anyone else's. And to adjust to that takes a long time. In fact, Shana Rishona, people often think Shana Rishona is fun. In games, you can date because no kids, no yichud problems, you live in the same house. But Lamaisa, Shana Rishona is a tremendous period of adjustment because people are coming from totally different situations and having to mold together. It's important to know if you feel things difficult during Shana Rishona, that's a totally normal thing to feel. And it's important to also speak to people. Speak to people that you feel confident in, Rabbanim, that you feel can trust,
to discuss the issues. There are some marriage counselors, and by going to a marriage counselor, in no way are you admitting that you have a problem. Actually, we live in the day and age that we realize that it's a very normal thing to do, to people that are professionals, and to ask them for their advice. It's something to know that is open to you, and to realize that it takes a lot of effort to build a happy life together. Specifically, one of the issues which really comes up in Shalom Bayis, a major issue of tension, is an issue of marital intimacy. It's an issue which can cause a lot of stress, a lot of tension, a lot of problems, expectations. Husband has one, wife has another. There's expectations which are not being met. And the most important yesod in Shalom Bayis is communication. Whether they're going to be together every night of the week or once a month is not as important as the fact they talk to each other and discuss the situation. Communication, communication, communication. The tanach of the first night together is not something we're going to discuss now. Many people have, and you're welcome to ask me to give it to you, or there are others that are very talented. They're a chasen shmuz. Chasen shmuz is where we discuss the details of chasen kal being together the first night, just to prepare for the first act of intimacy. But one thing to discuss halachically, which belongs in chas nida, is the issue we discussed briefly of dam besulim. We mentioned when a woman becomes sexually active for the first time, the hymen is broken, and that causes the besulim, dam besulim, which is an ister midrabanan. We mentioned there's two variables, either complete penetration without blood, or even partial penetration with blood, going to make her have the issur of a nida midrabanan. And it's important to just be aware of that, to know that that's going to happen. We mentioned that emotionally it can be a little bit hard to deal with, but that's an important thing to be aware of. I think the paradigm for sexual activity in halacha is a little known halacha. A husband's not allowed to be with his wife when she's sleeping. Okay, sounds very simple. Why not? What's so bad? That represents what sex is in halacha. The beauty of sexual activity between a husband and wife is that it's not something in which the husband acts for himself, the wife acts for herself. It's an act of giving. And therefore, if the husband is just taking from his wife, she can't experience any pleasure whatsoever. He's only taking, and there's no experience they're sharing together, that's usur. Because then it's only what's in it for me, instead of what's in it for us. Yes, part of what's in it for us, part of what's important for husband and wife is to get their own pleasure. If the husband's only focusing on the wife's pleasure, and the wife only focuses on the husband's pleasure, and he never receives any pleasure, that's terrible. It's not going to make their marriage very healthy. Of course, he needs to have his pleasure, she needs to have her pleasure. But the focus has to be pleasure for us, as opposed to just for me, or just for you. That's what this halacha represents, and it's a very important yisod in halacha. It's important for husband and wife to focus on each other's pleasure, on enjoying it together, on giving to one another. In Kabbalah, they point out, in Machshava, that one of the interesting ways a husband and wife kiss each other on the mouth is really recorded, we just read in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, it talks about, Yishakenim and Yishikos Pidu, who kiss me from the kisses of his mouth. What do you need? It's interesting, when a person kisses on the mouth, one's both receiving and giving the same way. The same thing is true with sexual activity. When husband and wife are together, they're both giving and receiving at the same time. And it's important to make sure both of those are going the right way. Only one is receiving, the other one is not, that's terrible. And if only one's giving, the other one's not, that's also terrible. It has to be a mutual situation which both are giving and both are receiving. And don't fool yourself, it's not a joke. Many problems in marriage can come from this. Either people realize it or not, and it's important to be open, communicate, and have people you can trust, to discuss it with, if it's not going the way that you think it should be going. People often point out, mental health professionals point out, that the physiology, the wiring of men and women are very different. Men, in theory, can be very stressed and want to have sex. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, one of the lures of pornography is that, for men, it can be relaxing. It's very easy. That's not as theory for men. For women, though, they point out, for women, sexual activity is something else on their to-do list. But if a woman feels she has to wash the dishes and mop the floor and cook supper, it's very hard for her to be in a mood that she wants to be sexually active. It's for women, they view it as something else on their list to do. As opposed to men, they could just stop everything and be with their wives. And it's important to appreciate that total difference. That's not something you can change often. That's just the way men and women are. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them. Mars does things differently than Venus. And it's important to be aware of that. Women have the to-do list approach, and men don't. And just to know, again, B'nai Yisod is, communicate, communicate, communicate.
And one last point to keep in mind is that often it's very easy, the world gives us the wrong impression about sex. The world, advertising in the world is full of that, it's full of sex. And it's important to realize that although the world is overloaded with marital intimacy, or not marital, but intimacy in general, the beauty of Chai Yisrael is that we often focus on the Midah of Tznius. And it's a very hard thing to focus for years on Tznius, being Shem and Adiyah, not even touching each other, being engaged, not even touching each other, and in one night, everything's turning. Not only are you not touching each other, not only is touching permissible, it's required, and you're set to be together that night. It's an unbelievable change. And it's a nace that it can happen so quickly. At the same time, it's important to realize that if it doesn't happen right away, if it takes a little bit of time, that's normal. The best thing is just relax. I often tell people that if I could have one word emblazoned in the Beis Medrash in big letters across the walls, it would be four letters. Beis, Nun, Ches, Tav, Benachas. Be Benachas. It's true in life. It's true in marital intimacy as well. Allow yourself to sometimes find that it's a total change and it's a little awkward. It should be awkward for you, awkward for your Kala. Accept that. Know it's normal. And know that Gam Zeyavor, it will take time, but sometimes the awkwardness of exposing oneself, of being intimate in a situation that a person never was active before, could sometimes be feel strange. And you shouldn't feel upset at yourself for feeling strange. It's normal. And Gam Zeyavor, that will pass. Literally, someone in life is in Hilchos Nida, in marital intimacy, and in life in general is Bibi Nachas. And Bez Hashem, you have shown this bracha, hatzlacha, and simcha, and everything good.